Welcome back to our podcast, Lexington Stories, Lore, and More. I'm Alan Lytle. She is Fiona Young Brown, the author of Secret Lexington, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Hello once again.
Hello. Good morning.
Check the forecast for today, the day that we are recording. This is on Monday, the 10th, and the projected high will be in the low 90s. So it's a scorcher. It's been a scorcher for a while. And we are what we would call in the dog days of summer, whatever that means.
I know it means that one of my dogs likes laying outside in it while I'm trying desperately to sit near the air conditioning.
And panting, as dogs do, right?
Yeah. And I, you know, and again, as dogs do, I try to convince them to come inside, but they're like, nope. That little spot right there is the hottest place outside, and I must be there.
Yes. And you walk out, and it's just walk outside, and it's kind of like walking into a blast furnace,
mm-hmm.
you know, or
yep.
a big sauna, right? So I bring this to everyone's attention. A couple episodes ago, we did the Great Outdoors edition of Lexington Stories, Lore, and More. And well, today, because the weather dictates it, it is the great indoors, where you can enjoy things in the great indoors, have a good time. And we're going to discuss a number of great spots around our little town called Lexington, where you can have a good time and beat the heat.
That sounds good to me. The great outdoors is nice the other three seasons of the year for me, but in the summer, I always feel as if summer goes so quickly.
It does.
But part of that is because I'm just hiding indoors in the air conditioning and away from the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And then it passes and I'm like, wow, I never really did anything this summer. But
well, and you look up at the calendar. Okay, here it is. It's early August. Summer's over. It's over.
Kids are going back to school. Once they go back to school, then it really does feel. And, you know, stores already have the Halloween stuff out.
Don't even get me started.
I know.
I mean.
Although that does mean Reese Cup pumpkins are out now. So.
And the pumpkin spice crowd. You know,
yeah,
for sweaters, for ill.
I will say, if you're currently waiting for sweater weather, we are not there yet.
No.
Hang on.
Unless they crank the AC up so high that you need a sweater. Right?
That is true. Yep.
Yeah.
So, and I do know people that do that. You know, in the winter, they have the heat so high that you just need a T-shirt. In the mm-hmm. summer, that AC, you're freezing.
Well, in this very building, a lot of times I'll have a short sleeve shirt. But I'll remember to take a hoodie and put that on as I'm walking through the hallways here, because the AC quite frequently is pretty low. But here's the thing. I always find that museums are probably a great way to, enjoy something, learn something, and stay cool in the heat. So what do you think about that?
I agree. And I'm one of those people that, you know, once you find a good museum, I can go back over and over again. I know some people like to rush through and see everything. Or
are
some
you
people
one of these
stop
people
and
that read the whole panel all the time?
No.
I am definitely.
I
want to get that knowledge.
I have big ambitions of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time I get to, you know, the third or fourth panel, I'm like, okay. Once I'm stuck behind someone like you, perhaps, who is reading every word, and I'm like, but I want to see the next thing.
Yeah.
So I tend to skim through things, but then I like to find specific exhibits or pieces that I like, and I tend to really, so that I can go back and focus on them and
sure.
then pick up something else as well, you know, see something else.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, a lot of these now, you can scan the panel. And it'll have a code, and you can pull it up on your phone and read at your own leisure.
See, that I like. I'm not a fan of the audio tours, again, just because I then find myself stuck behind a bunch of people with headphones on, but all kind of just frantically listening.
Maybe bumping into one another because they're not paying attention.
So really, I guess what I'm saying is I like museums, but I don't like people in museums at the same time as me.
what is the famous phrase? I love mankind. It's people I can't
stand. It's the people that are the problem.
Okay. All right. So give me your favorite or museum or just a museum in Lexington.
Well, I did start looking around because Lexington actually has a lot of different museums. You know, we've got historic homes, we've got art museums, we've got the aviation museum, we've got the children's museum, and so on.
We have the Lexington History Museum. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that.
Of course. You now get brownie points.
Well, I'm on the board of trustees, so yeah.
And so I was actually curious because I wanted to know what the oldest museum in Lexington was.
Okay.
And I couldn't find a lot of information. I found a lot of things online that said that Mary Todd Lincoln House was the first historic home to open in Lexington, but that opened in 1977.
Yes.
So while it was the first historic home dedicated to a first lady, from what I understand, Ashland, the Henry Clay estate, opened to the public in 1950.
That tracks. Yeah, I would say so.
But there's an odd museum that isn't a museum, but is a museum, if I haven't confused
it
you enough.
It is, but it isn't.
Yes.
And it is what it is.
And it sort of is, but it's kind of...
And what is it?
That is the Moosnick Museum.
Oh, over Transylvania.
And that's been around since like the 1820s in one form or another. And I should explain, it's not a museum at the moment, as in a place where you can go and view the collection.
Okay, so technically...
There's no... Yeah. Physical spot. But way back in 1820, Transy had this really famous medical school, and a lot of the professors at Transy were actually world-class physicians and researchers, and they would go to London and Paris, overseas, not Kentucky, to buy their medical instruments. And so they would come back, and people would come not just to study at Transy, but other doctors and physicians would come to Transy to view these fabulous new creations that they're using on the continent. And over time, that whole collection has been named the Moosnick Museum. Mm-hmm. And it was named after one of the professors in the, I think, in the early part of the 20th century, who was kind of the curator of the collection. There are hundreds of pieces ranging from weird and wonderful medical tools, a piece of meat that came down in the famous Kentucky meat shower.
The meat shower, right.
A giant hairball that was retrieved from a cow's stomach. Apparently these things were used to treat all manner of ills. I'm not sure whether you touched them or what you did to them. But so there's this huge collection. Now, as I said, at the moment, Transy does not have a physical home for this. They're all in various places of storage, which I think is a shame because that's the kind of collection I could wander into and just spend hours looking at
dedicated
oddities.
Space.
So if anyone has a dedicated museum space, I'm going to put out this call on behalf of Transy.
Yeah, because you can't go and beat the heat here.
Well, you can beat the heat by viewing it at home.
There you go.
All of the parts of the collection are online through their website. So if you want to beat the heat in the easiest and laziest way possible, by not even leaving your house,
Exactly. You
can go to a museum online and look through all the exhibits. And, you know, you won't see the meat shower chunks of meat, but you'll see a picture of them.
And just imagine looking up and getting smacked by a ribeye.
But moving on, so assuming that we're actually leaving our own house to go to a museum. Okay. So obviously the historic homes, Ashland, the Mary Todd Lincoln House, which I've mentioned both of those before. Also Waveland.
Waveland, yes.
I find kind of gets overlooked a little bit by those two bigger ones, but that's definitely one worth going out to see.
Is there air conditioning in these places?
You know, I was trying to think that, and I nearly phoned them up and said, do you have AC?
I'm going to bet that all of those that you mentioned actually do have some sort of cooling system.
I'm going to guess they probably do at this point. One thing that occurred to me when I was pondering that question, is that a lot of older houses were built with much higher ceilings. The rooms had those huge high ceilings and window, and so were really designed more for that kind of, you know, for the heat and so on. Mm-hmm. The heat would rise. The heat would then kind of pass through. So my hope is that they were all architecturally created as well with that in mind, a little more than, you know, modern houses, which have the lower ceilings and so on.
Sure.
Yeah. So I would definitely recommend, I love a historic house as well. And one of my favorite things about historic houses is depending who the guides are, you can go a couple of times, but if you have different guides, you'll get different stories.
Different.
They all have different bits that they're interested in and so on.
Yeah.
If you do happen to be at Waveland on a weekend in the summer and you get tired of being indoors in the comfortable, cool air, you can. There may be a vintage baseball game on. They have those sometimes, which are fun, but obviously that does mean going outside again. So we're going to skip over that.
Well, you could have your little handheld fan and watch the action. Yeah.
You could, but that defeats the purpose of the great indoors. So forget the baseball for now.
But just file that for future reference if you really want to get the full experience at Waveland. They do play vintage baseball from time to time.
And it is fun. I am not a baseball fan, but I actually really enjoy the vintage baseball. It's much, you know, it's the 1880s old-timey rules and so on. It's not stopping every 5 minutes for a organ or a commercial break or anything.
No,
it's fun.
I love it. These guys come out in their vintage costumes.
Yes.
They have vintage names. Years ago, I did a feature story on the teams, and it was fun. It was fun to put together. It was mm-hmm. fun to listen to. I was fortunate enough to win a statewide journalism award. I'm, you know, proud of that. And it's a great experience. And if you really want to know how far off track today's baseball is compared to where it began, its early origins, that's a great way to experience it. I know it's a tangent, but, you know, hey, tangents are fun, especially in a podcast, you know. So there
you go. We can talk about what we want.
We can talk whatever we want to do, you know. And hopefully the listeners will come along with us, you know. Otherwise, well, we're just sort of, you know, chopping air.
And so Waveland, and I know Ashland has a lot of outdoor events, but still definitely take time to look around inside these houses.
Without
you always find fascinating little snippets. It's a great way to beat the heat and get some educational history as well.
Yes. Now, where is the museum that has the grotto?
That is the, now, I never know how to pronounce this. Is it Hedley Whitney or Hedley Whitney?
Hedley Whitney.
Hedley Whitney.
The
there we go.
Hedley Whitney Museum.
And I actually love the grotto because where I grew up in England, close to my hometown, in the Victorian era, they found an underground shell grotto.
Oh, they did.
And you can go and visit it. And, you know, there are little chambers all decorated from top to floor with shells. And so when I came here and realized there is a grotto here, perfect. So, moving on to art museums.
There you go.
Culture.
Sure. Yeah.
The Hedley Whitney, now I know how to say that. And you can't miss it if you're driving along Old Frankfort. But is it on Old Frankfort? I get those
wrong. I
roads.
Think it's all, off of Old Frankfort Pike, yeah.
You can't miss it because they have one of the Horse Mania horses at the main gate.
Call back to one of our earlier podcasts.
And it is covered in shells as an homage to the Shell Grotto. And I haven't been there for years, but I do. They have the grotto. They have a fascinating jewel collection. One of them had a really interesting collection of jewels. They usually have visiting artist exhibits and just a fascinating collection of things that make me wonder, why do I not have the money and the wherewithal to be collecting something obscure and very valuable?
Another art museum. The University of Kentucky has an art museum.
They do. And actually, well, and what I like, there's the University of Kentucky Art Museum. But there's also, I'm going to call out the art museum that's within the healthcare system at UK.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The hospitals and healthcare has an incredible art collection all of its own. And it's part of, they realized, you know, I mean, there have been studies over the years that talk about how art can actually help people's mood, but also can then in turn help with healing. And so if you go online to the UK healthcare art collection, something along those lines, it's in the book, Secret Lexington, you will find the link. But you can download a map and a guide of everything in their collection at the moment. Some parts of the collection do rotate, so you just never know what you're going to find. And there are all throughout the corridors, throughout some of the atria of the hospitals, and anyone can go and visit them.
Yeah, you don't have to be sick or anything like that. I mean,
you can just go in and browse the corridors and the chapels. There are rotating galleries. I know every time I have a doctor's appointment down there, I'm always fascinated to see what is on the walls. There are some really well-known pieces. There's a Henry Faulkner somewhere among the collection. And then there are other pieces that are, you know, you might go along a collection and that's season's rotating exhibition is photographs by some of the doctors in the hospital, or the children's hospital has, you know, pieces that are much more kind of fun and funky for the kids. There's folk art. There's just a whole bunch of stuff in there. Like I said, it is free and open to anyone. The collection has more than 4,000 pieces of art, and I think it's one of kind of the hidden gems, if you will, because people just don't realize. You may go to the hospital to visit someone and you'll see a painting and think that's nice without realizing that there's this huge collection.
Yeah.
My only advice that I always give is do remember it's a hospital as well. So, you know, just be respectful, be wary and so on, that there are certain places you can't go, just go to where the art is.
Right.
But it's, yeah, it's a fascinating collection.
And the hospital has really, really good AC.
There you go. And technically they are a hospital, so if the heat is still getting to you, you can get your medical treatment at the same time.
Sure.
While enjoying the art.
Many, many professionals can work on you.
There will be somewhere to help, someone around to help you.
So that is a major art installation. And of course, we mentioned the University of Kentucky Art Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of these Fourth Friday from the Lexington Art League, all of those displays are inside as well.
Yes. And I actually finally went to one of those last year. I couldn't believe that I hadn't been to one before because it's fun and fascinating. We went to see the current exhibitions at the Lexington Art League building, which is fun. There is always art on display at the Carnegie Center as well. Their upstairs gallery usually has a really interesting collection. And even if you don't have time, well, finding time to visit them all on a fourth Friday, you can pick up the little program, and that will tell you of all of the little smaller galleries around town that you can stop in some other time, because it's always surprising how many there are when you see that program.
You cannot possibly visit every single pop-up gallery or just any gallery in any given night on a Fourth Friday. You just sort of have to pick and choose and, you know, strategize and, okay, we're going to be in this corridor for this time and maybe the other corridor the next time Fourth Friday rolls around.
Exactly. You can suddenly realize that you've been walking along a street for years and actually there are three little galleries down there that you can go in, look around. So there is a lot of art in Lexington. I would give a shout out to the street art, but we're not going to look at that right now because we're trying to beat the heat and stay indoors.
Right. All right. So where are we going for the next stop to beat the heat?
I would say continuing the museums while you are downtown. Museums have this reputation of being kind of stuffy and not good if you have little ones. Which means you obviously need to go to the Lexington Children's Museum,
mm-hmm.
Which is tons of fun. You know, it's one of those things. kids' museums are fun even if you're adults.
Yes.
Because you uncover the big kid inside.
Oh, yeah.
And so the Children's Museum downtown in Lexington has some great exhibits. Some of them are tied into, you know, local stuff. But also then there's a lot of learning. There's lots of hands-on stuff for kind of building and mazes and things. And so that is a great addition to downtown and somewhere that the kids can't complain they're bored. And then another museum that is well worth going to, and again, I think kids can enjoy this one, is the Aviation Museum.
Yeah. At the airport, sure.
Out behind the airport. There are a couple of old planes. Lexington has a great aviation history, you know, all the airports and Lindbergh and so on and so forth. And so there is tons of stuff to look at there. You can browse around little models and, like I said, some preserved historic airplanes. And then you can step outside again. Why would you want to in this heat? But you could. And you can actually watch some of the private planes come in
and land, sure, yeah.
Which is kind of fun, just to, you know, watch the people getting on and off them. And
oh, you know, going back to downtown, the Living Arts and Science Center too.
Yes,
right? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good place to
another meet. Fun one.
Yeah, okay. From the Aviation Museum, some other places around town. Like a movie theater. And the first one I think of course, is, you know, the Kentucky Theater.
Yes. I mean, there's something about the Kentucky Theater. It's just got that big, I mean, a huge, huge auditorium. I love the painting up on the ceilings. I'm sitting there feeling like I'm on a balcony in Italy or watching starlight. And then the movie, I mean, this is a chance to go back to what movie viewing used to be like, which if you're a movie buff is a big, big deal. And yet there are other movie theaters around town. There are plenty of your multiplexes.
And oh, yeah.
Those are great. But there's always something special about the Kentucky. If you are here during the summer, I always recommend the summer classics.
Wednesday
evenings.
Nights. Yes. Yep.
And there's always a great atmosphere at that as well. They'll have the organ playing beforehand. You can still get your popcorn and all of your usual movie theater treats.
And sometimes it's handed to you by Fred.
That is true. I mean, Fred is a Kentucky institution in himself. Go to the Kentucky Theater to see Fred.
Fred Mills, yes.
We have a bunch of, you know, fridge magnets and stickers on our refrigerator at home, and I have only two of real people, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Fred Mills.
There's some elite company right there.
There is Fred Mills on my refrigerator every day.
Wow. Fred, just want to let you know, you've made it to Fiona's refrigerator.
You've made it to the refrigerator. I love going to the, it's also, they do the summer classics. They'll do some of the big blockbusters. The Odyssey, I know, has been showing there recently. There's also a lot of lesser known, more independent movies.
Yes.
And you always find some really good stuff there that, you know, may just never make it to the multiplexes, but really deserves to be seen.
Yeah, and film festivals too.
A lot of film festivals.
Was it 12 Lions and, and a number?
A lot of international ones. Yeah, yeah. There's the Cult Friday movies, and I think it's the last Friday of every month. It may not be the last one, so check the calendar, but they'll always show kind of a late night cult movie on a Friday.
Like a Rocky Horror Picture Show, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, you can't miss that. I think the most recent one was, oh God, it was a high school. I don't remember the name now, but it was a high school 70s horror, not really horror, but music. It was a cult classic.
Is that with the Ramones?
Yes.
Okay, Rock and Roll High School.
Thank you. That was the one.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely go to the Kentucky. Only two theaters in there.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's nice to go to a theater that's, it's just got that movie feel. You feel like a movie is an event there. Right. You're not just all kind of cramming in and so on. So definitely check out the Kentucky. And the architecture there is, you know, beautiful, gorgeous.
The marquee out front.
Yes.
You know?
And I like in the lobby now, depending on the movie, you might find an impromptu little exhibit of related items and so on. I know during Barbie, they had a whole bunch of Barbie stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, so, well, let's not forget the lyric as well. A little further,
that,
you know,
is true. Another historical one worth visiting. And again, they also show some interest. They do show movies from time to time. They have an art gallery part. And the lyric, again, it's a fascinating piece of Lexington's history. Mm-hmm. Some incredible names have played there in the past. Ella Fitzgerald, you know, all of the big
jazz and
blues greats played there in the 50s and 60s. It was closed for a little while, I think, but, you know, was restored and came back. A great place for events. There may be some movies there occasionally, but also a lot of live shows, everything from musical acts, a lot of black cultural events and historical acts. We actually went a couple of years ago to see Japanese storytelling. There's candlelight orchestra music. There's just a really broad mix, and it's a beautifully restored and an important historic location.
Without a doubt. So those are the theaters.
The Opera House as well. If we're mentioning those, we should also mention the Opera House.
Absolutely. There's always something going on at the Opera House.
Yes. And again, from music, musicals, comedians, just worth checking it out. And another, again, it's a beautiful old-fashioned building with some beautiful architecture.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And so here, those are just a sampling of some of the places that you can go to beat the heat. You might want to enjoy one of your favorite libations and maybe play trivia at the same time, too.
Ooh.
You know, that's a possibility.
That sounds pretty good. Yes, you could go to one of the very, there are trivia nights all around town. It seems as if everywhere now has them. So I know the Burl, I believe, does them on a Monday. I don't know if it's every Monday. I think somebody told me that Whole Foods has a trivia night. I don't know, but that
I do know.
Seems
I think
possible.
Mirror Twin does trivia, and Void Sake does trivia. There's some at the Palm. I mean, it's basically, I think there's a group, it's called Local Trivia Action. You can go on to their website and you can see where they're conducting trivia all over town.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just many, many different ways, places to go to beat the heat and enjoy your, you know, favorite drink combination, maybe with some friends, and also learn something along the way, or show what you already know. There you go. Show what you already know for prizes. You know,
prizes are good.
Okay, there's also one of the great sports and leisure sports of our time, maybe more from the last century, but bowling. You could go bowling.
Bowling, yeah. There used to be a lot more bowling alleys.
Yes, there used to be. That's
Lexington.
True.
There aren't any more, but there is still, I believe, Southland Lanes is still open.
Yep, they're still open on Southland, yes.
And, you know, bowling is another of those kind of, I always feel very retro when I go there. Like, I need to be wearing a 1950s bowling shirt, and I can't bowl to save my life. It's pitiful.
That doesn't matter.
But exactly. It's not about actually hitting anything. Well,
pins.
Okay.
Okay, so that explains it.
That's
you
why
have
I
to
didn't
hit
get
the pins
it.
With the ball. So there you go. We have discovered the fatal flaw in your approach.
I just thought I sat there and enjoyed a hot dog.
So there's also like Malibu Jacks.
That's it. There are also a lot of those kind of indoor amusement places that have a whole bunch of different. There's Malibu Jacks on Nicholasville Road. Just also on Nicholasville Road is Gaddy Town.
Yes.
And the main event, they're all on Nicholasville Road is the, you know, if you can't get into one, just drive a couple of hundred feet and you'll
it's
be at the next
the
one.
Vegas Strip a little bit.
Ooh. You can, I think.
Oh, don't forget Lex Live. Downtown
and Lex
near,
Live,
near,
yep. You can do
Rupp Arena.
again, you can do your bowling, you can do your air hockey, your skee ball, all of those various indoor events and amusements that will keep the kids occupied for hours. Gaddytown also does the pizza, you know, all of these places always do food as well. And I used to know several business groups that would have a lunch at Gaddytown, which seemed an unlikely place, but
it's a work slash play lunch, if you will.
Liked the pizza. Yeah. So I guess, you know. So there's lots of indoor amusement places like that. There's also, you mentioned Lex Live. There's the one over on Manawar near Boston Road, the Inflatables one. Okay. There's kind of a couple of places around town which are inflatables. Or I think there's even one that's kind of indoor skydiving, where you're not really obviously jumping out of a plane, but you know, they use the fans and the air blowers to make it feel as if you are.
I obviously don't get out enough. I mean, because I didn't know that we had that. Is there still a climbing wall over there near where the Legends play? There used to be an indoor climbing wall.
There is one somewhere down there because I remember seeing the signs as I've been driving along. Yeah. So there is a climbing wall down there. There's also, let me see, there's the ice rink out, which has the mini golf. But again, the mini golf is outside, so we don't want to do that right now. But you can go ice skating indoors if you feel so inclined. I have a personal fear of ice skating, so
I have never been on ice skates, and only very once or twice have I ever been on roller skates.
I love watching ice skating. I love the idea of ice skating, and I also have this constant fear that I would fall over and someone else would slice my fingers off, and so, which I don't believe has ever really happened.
Do you read a lot of Stephen King?
Maybe that's what did it, but and every time I mention it to anyone who ice skates, they always look at me like, that's not gonna happen. But you know, but if you want to ice skate and I haven't just put you off completely, then that is an alternative to try.
Wow. Do you think that we have provided enough places for people to beat the heat on this episode? What's left? Where do we go from here?
I would say, I mean, if you can't find anything enjoyable to do at any of the places that we've listed, then you probably shouldn't be outdoors anyway. Just stay at home and you'll feel better. But, you know, there's always, you can... If the worst comes to the worst and there's nothing else you want to do, then you can go to the mall, you can go to a bookstore, enjoy the air conditioning, sip on an iced coffee, read a book, or just watch other people from the food court.
There you go. I mean, there is no excuse whatsoever to be roasting out in the heat or just sitting in your lazy boy for hours on end. There's all kinds of ways to beat the heat and to, you know, kind of be amongst the folks and learn something along the way.
And to still see some of what Lexington has to offer.
Yes, and what Lexington has to offer is plenty of stories, lore, and more. I like the see what I did there?
Clever.
We just sort of circle back, you know. So what are we going to look forward to in September? Besides cooler temperatures
and the
leaves falling.
And obviously, you know, everyone running for pumpkin spice and getting the Halloween decorations up probably in September. Because, you know, why wait until October?
I've got an idea. Maybe we talk about all the plethora of fall festivals.
It is fall festival time. I mean, summer is just too hot to be setting up festivals outdoors. It's uncomfortable, it's miserable, but September is when the fall festivals really, and Lexington and just Kentucky
all
as a whole
Kentucky
has
really
interesting ones. So
all right, so we will do next month, we will do a deep dive on great places that you can visit and just have a good time at a fall festival.
There you go.
Sound good?
Sounds good to me. Get your apple cider, get your festival mode going.
All right. And so our guest, of course, has been the author of Secret Lexington, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Fiona Young Brown, always fun to have you in the studio, just knocking back ideas.
It's always fun when I actually have an idea, babe.
And we will see you next month on Lexington Stories, Lore, and More.